If you would and you'd like to follow along, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Here's the four words I want to preach about today. He cannot deny himself. I read a little something in a bulletin. One was one from Tim James. And it wasn't about this verse, but it quoted this verse here. And that verse just kind of hit me all of a sudden. Now, when I did the other three faithful sayings, because there are four, I think it's three in Timothy and one in Titus, where Paul wrote this. This is a faithful saying. I kind of skipped over this one. There's a reason for that, but I'm not sure what it was now. I think I know, but we'll get to that. But this is the one that hit me, these four words. He cannot deny himself. And I think that is probably one of the most gracious things I've ever read. But first, to start off, it is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we also shall live with him. Now, that's not all the faithful saying. It keeps right on going. But this is a truthful saying, a steadfast saying, a statement full of faith. That's what faithful means, full of faith. An inspired saying. Paul the Apostle is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote this down. Like I said, he wrote this, it's a faithful saying, four times. Three of them to Timothy and one of them to Titus. Now, to be honest, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all of Paul's writings were faithful. Were faithful sayings. But here, this is something he wanted to point out, in particular, to emphasize the truth he's fixing to tell you here. He wanted to emphasize this particular thought. What's that mean? It means pay attention. Pay close attention. If we be dead with him, we also shall live with him. Amen. Oh my. Now who's the him? Of course it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Romans 6:4, we were baptized unto his death. Because without the death of Christ, we have no life. Amen. Right. Without the death of Christ, there is no life for human beings, period. Not in God's sight. All that is without Christ is death. Death. Oh, but in him, Romans 6:4, he put it this way, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, there was a purpose for this, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life, of life. So with his death and resurrection, in him, we have died and we live. There, like I said, there is no life without him. But in him is life. He took our death and we live in him. We should have died. We should have. We earned it. The wages of sin is death. And I earned my death. But by his grace, I have been delivered from the death that I justly earned. And every one of his people justly earned their own death. But in him, oh, in him, he died with our sins in his body on the tree. Walter preached it a couple weeks ago. His blood was shed. That blood was shed for his people. And with that blood being shed, we are redeemed. We are redeemed. We were redeemed 2,000 years ago when he shed it on the tree. Oh, we died with him and we live with him. But without our death with him, there is no life with him. And Paul's telling us, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Then he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign.
Amen.
If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. What's it say? In this world, you could have tribulation.
Yeah.
Not exactly. In this world, you may have tribulation. No, in this world, you're going to have tribulation.
Amen. That's right.
You're going to have tribulation. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Who said that? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And guess what? That is as true as ye must be born again. You understand, all these people, they're going around all these churches, as they call them, these mega churches, these assemblies, talking about how wonderful everything will be if you just trust Christ. You'll have all the money you want. You'll have all the health you can stand. Matter of fact, you won't be able to stand it. You'll be so healthy. That's a lie. Jesus Christ said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation.
Yeah.
And anybody that says any different is telling a lie. And I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. But Paul says, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. Now, it doesn't say that we're going to reign. It says we're going to reign with him.
Right.
You understand? You know, it's like, he's got all the power, and we're going to reign with him. You understand what that means? He has put us on his side. I said it a few weeks ago, I don't have a side. And here's the other part of it, you don't have a side. But if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We only reign with him because he's got all the power. He is the head, and we are the members of his body. We have his name. He is our bridegroom, our king, and our Lord. It said it a few weeks back. We are called by his name, the Lord, our righteousness. And if we suffer, we're going to reign with him. Now, here comes the scary part, and I think this might have been part of the reason why I skipped over this faithful saying. Because it says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. I'm going to tell you something, that's a scary thought. Because this part of the verse actually scares me. But I believe, for the most part, this is a warning against apostasy. And that's scary. You understand? People who apostatize have been somewhat following. You understand? They're not just the heathen out there. They're not the people who don't know anything about Christ. They've been following for a while. And that scares me. But here's the thing. And I had to think about this, and I did a little checking. And to ponder in myself, because I have doubts at times. Understand? And I know Some of you have doubts at times. I figure all of you do at one time or another. I try not to live there, Mac, but I know where it is. But here's the thing. When I analyzed my thoughts about this, I deny myself in my doubts. You understand? I'm not denying, and I don't deny. I don't think I ever have. I don't deny Christ. I deny my part with him. You understand? Now, you can go back to Peter. When Satan desired to sift him with as wheat. And guess what he did? And our Lord told him, says, you're going to deny me thrice before the cock crows. And Peter did. But Peter didn't deny that Jesus was the Christ.
Right.
He just denied that he knew him.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
I didn't know him. But anyway, Jesus also told Peter when Satan was going to sift him as wheat, I've prayed for you.
Yes.
I've prayed for you. That gives me goosebumps. That your faith fail not.
Yeah.
And it didn't fail.
It didn't.
And you know why it didn't fail? Because Jesus Christ prayed for him.
Yeah.
And his prayers are always answered, yay and amen.
Yes.
And I thought about this, like I said, and I thought about John Newton, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. He wrote, glorious things of thee are spoken. I love that song. Zion City of our God. He wrote, behold the throne of grace, and many others. But he also wrote this. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it caused me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? He's not denying the Lord. He's denying, wondering his part in it. And I know that feeling. That's where my doubts are. If I love, why am I thus? Oh my. Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. Now, I know that feeling very well. But that's not denying Christ. That's not denying Christ. I know my own doubts and fears, but I don't doubt him. And I'll tell you what, that does comfort me. When I doubt, not if, but when I doubt, I doubt my part in it. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? This is the thing. The true believer doesn't worry about the Lord. He worries about himself. That's how selfish we are. That's how ignorant we are. And sometimes that's how faithless we are. Now, I'm not promoting that, but I want you to be aware of it. Some people will say, well, if we deny him, he'll deny us. So don't we ever deny the Lord? No, you just believe Christ. Just believe Christ. You're going to have doubts. You're going to have fears. And Satan may sift you as wheat. But usually it's your own self that's sifting your own self. But Jesus Christ prayed for Peter. And I'm going to tell you this. He also said, if you know me, if you believe me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's just as true as if we deny him, he will deny us. I think what Paul was writing here was in reference to what Matthew wrote down. These are the words of Christ. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
That's some serious words.
Yeah.
Paul is writing about those who go out from us.
Yeah.
But we also know why they go out from us.
Yeah.
They never were of us.
Right.
They were never of us. Because had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. Paul is writing of those who deny that Jesus is the Christ. It's what John talked about. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now you understand, these are many deceivers. They are among us. They were among those then. They were using the name of Christ, but they were denying his power. What is it? Those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So I'm going to tell you something. If you deny Christ's power, you're denying Christ. You're saying, we say it wholeheartedly, I mean it. You can't preach Christ high enough, and you can't preach man low enough. But there are those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power they have. They use the name of Jesus, or Christ, or Jesus Christ, but they deny his power in some way, shape, or form. They may deny his perfection. Well, there's lots of people do that. Well, he was just a man. Kenneth Copeland's idiot wife. I'm sorry. Gloria Copeland. Say, Jesus was just a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can be too. You're going to compare yourself to the Lord of glory? You're a fool. You're a lying, deceived fool, and you're trying to deceive other people. They may deny his perfection. They may deny his power to save. He's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. They'll deny his power to keep saved. Well, they'll say you can be saved and then you can lose it. Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
John said, if you go out from us, you never were a part of us. Peter said, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. What? Ready to be revealed in the last day. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, and I'm going to raise him up as the last day. So if you deny his power to keep people safe, you're denying him. Oh, there are some that deny him by claiming their own sinlessness. I haven't heard it for a while, Walter, but I have heard it in times past. I heard it on tape by Henry the other day. Remind me of it. They call it living above sin. Now, doesn't that sound sweet? Now, listen, we are no longer the servants of sin. But that doesn't mean we're without sin. That doesn't mean we can be without sin. It's not possible. Because I know in my flesh, still, right now, to this day, there is no good thing in my flesh. Now, in his spirit within me, there's all kind of good things. And therefore, in lies the battle. But in denying that they have sin, what are they denying? They're denying his advocacy. They're saying his intercession and his power and his advocacy, I don't need. But he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Why? Because we ever need his intercession. Amen. For us. But here's the thing. If we deny him, he'll deny us. His sheep shall hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Why? Because they're following him. They're following him. And I think that might have been why I was skipped this one, because I didn't want to get into that. And I get through all this to get to this part. And here's the statement. Just see where Paul goes from. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. What's the next thing he says? If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. Now, isn't that glorious? What a statement. Talk about the grace of Christ Jesus. The glorious truth. Now, you understand, listen very, very carefully to the negative. Paul is not saying that Jesus Christ saves those who have never believed and will never believe. It's not what he's talking about. I mean, this may sound funny, but I thought about it and pondered on it, and I couldn't find another way to say it. Here's the thing. If we, believers, those who have been revealed to Christ, or revealed Christ in their hearts, if we believe not, he's faithful. He's talking about believers. What? He's talking about unbelief in believers? Yes, he is. And it's there. It's there. It's there. If we believers believe not, he's faithful. Because Jesus Christ can't be anything other than faithful and true. Because he is faithful and true. Not only to himself, but wait a minute, to us. To us, to his people. He abides faithful. He lives faithful. To us, his people. You understand? And Walter, you said this years ago. I remember it because I worry about this. You understand? If I lose my mind through no fault of my own or through my own idiocy, which can be rampant at times, I'll admit to it. But if I lose my mind to the point where I don't even know my own name or know yours, he's faithful. He's faithful. You understand? He's faithful. I can be a drooling vegetable, but bless God, Jesus Christ is still faithful and true. Oh, I'm telling you, that blesses my soul. Because I worry about my mind. I remember Earl saying years ago, he said, I don't know that I lost my mind, but I wasn't sure where it went. I kind of have a feeling I know what that means now. Oh, I'm telling you, you folks, your mind can betray you.
Yes.
But he abides faithful. My mind can condemn me, but he abides faithful. We sing that song, and we mean it, I hope. Help thou my unbelief. Why? Because it's in here. And unfortunately, sometimes it comes out. But he abides faithful. He abides faithful. And then here, Paul tells us how. He tells us how, and he tells us why Christ Jesus is faithful, even though we don't believe sometimes. I mean, he writes it, and this is a glorious fact, and I love these four words. He cannot deny himself. Himself. You understand? This doesn't have anything to do with me. This has got to do with him. If I don't believe, he's faithful. If I don't believe, he's faithful. You don't believe. You have doubts, you have fears, you have overwhelming grief. He's faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. Now you understand, this deny himself here is the same exact word as in verse 12. If we, what is it? If we deny him, he will also deny us. That's the same exact word. That in verse 12 is condemnatory. All right? Oh, but here in verse 13, it's glorious. He can't deny himself. You understand? Because you understand, a lot of people say, you know, there's one thing God can't do. He can't lie. That's true. But here's number two. This is scripture. This is inspired of God, written by Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, which is us. Jesus Christ can never deny himself. Oh, why? Because he's faithful and true. He's faithful and true. He can't deny himself. God cannot lie. And Jesus Christ, because here's this, to deny himself would be untruthful. I mean, that's it. He can't be opposite, even slightly against his own nature. He's God. Oh. Because here, let me put this as simply as I can. To deny one of his brethren, that's what he called us. His brethren, the redeemed. To deny one of those would be to deny himself. You understand? We say, and we say that we use this word, and it's a good word, he is our representative. He is our federal head. He is the head, we are the body. But you understand, we're only saying that because he said it. And he said it because it's true. And to deny, for Christ to be able to deny, would be to deny himself. If he denied a part of his own body, he's faithful. Our failure, and bless God for this, our failure is not a cause for Jesus Christ to deny us.
Right. That's right.
He's faithful and true. Yes. And he can't deny himself. Now, if somebody's going to say, you're giving people license to sin. They're going to go out and sin all they want. They do anyway. Leave me alone. I sin more than I want to. I remember when Henry first said that 30 years ago. Buddy, that blessed my soul. Because that's it. I sin more than I want to now. Oh. We still have unbelief in us. But he can't deny himself. Believers, I say, again, are known, are called by his name. And you understand, that don't mean a lot to most people, but that means the world to Jesus Christ. Because you understand, he's the one that calls us by name.
Yeah.
And he's the one that brings us in, what? To himself.
Yeah.
To himself. This is where we end up. He cannot deny his people. Because to deny his people would be to deny himself. You want to talk about eternal security now? I can do it. But I'm going to tell you this. You're either in Christ or you're without Christ. And I can tell you this. People talk about election. And we do, and I love election. But here's the thing. Being chosen in Christ is not the same thing as being brought into Christ. You got no cause to think that he can't deny you until you believe him. That's what it's talking about. Paul wrote this to Timothy, a believer, a brother, a fellow preacher. He cannot deny us. We are in him. Believers are. And this is a truth I think, sometimes I think I'm guilty of thinking of too lightly because we say it so much. Being in him means that we are inside him. I mean, we say, oh, we're in him. And that's true. And it's great. But I don't want to flippantly say it. I don't want to gloss over it because I'm so familiar with it. We are inside the Son of God. Walter's been talking about it talking about the Old Testament sacrifices. When God sees us or when God smells us, he gets the aroma, the sweet savor of his son.
Amen.
When he saves us, we put on the garments that he gives us, the garments of salvation, plural, but we also get the robe, singular, the robe of righteousness. What is that robe of righteousness? That's him.
Yeah.
That's him. That's him. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Yeah.
And guess what? He cannot deny himself. Because to deny his elect, blood-bought, brought-in brothers and sisters would be to deny his own flesh.
Yes, it would. That's right.
Because we are his body and members in particular. I like that. He abides faithful. Our condition, and this is a glorious thing too, our condition doesn't matter. He abides faithful. Our faithfulness is not the issue. And thank God for that. Our performance is not a factor. Our imperfections don't count. Not here. Not here. Not in this context. Not in this verse where Paul's talking about. They do count to us. And I don't like my imperfections, and I don't like your imperfections either, but I'm not bringing that up. But we all got them. Our stumbling, our falling, our miserably failing cannot make him change his love for his brethren. Because he cannot deny himself. God, I like that. Thank God Almighty, he cannot deny himself. John Gill wrote it this way. It may be understood of true believers whose faith sometimes is very low as to its exercise on Christ and with reference to their future glory and happiness, but Christ is faithful to all his. That's what his covenant with God was all about in the beginning. I'm going to save them and I'm going to bring them in. They're mine. The Father gave us to him. And he brings us in. What? To bring them to glory and to every word of promise concerning their happiness and to every branch of faithful saying above mentioned. And he is ever the same in his love to them. At all times, this is me. At all times and under all circumstances. He cannot deny himself. You understand? When, not if, when we're in trials, difficulties, in losses, in crosses that we bear, in adversities, in temptations, in persecutions, and in our own sins, he's faithful. He is faithful. Any sin you make, he either paid for it or you're going to die for it.
Yes.
And he cannot deny himself. Beloved, now, right now, we are the sons of God. And Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, has said that we are his brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Oh, and he abides faithful. Whatever condition we're in, whatever condition we're going to be in, he cannot deny himself. Take heart. Rejoice in him. I like those words. I like those words. Because I swear, I think Paul just wrote them for me.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. You're right. Walter grinning at me over there. He did. He wrote them for every blood-bought child of God. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something. We are complete in him, and he cannot deny himself. Ah, that's good. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and this place. Most of all, Lord, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can't deny himself, and he will not deny his brethren. He loved us and gave himself for us, and will bring us to a complete salvation. Thank you, Lord. Be with Walter as he comes to preach your gospel. Give him the words we need to hear, and give us ears and hearts to hear and understand. And we'll give you all the honor and the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.